022 Grace, 18th of March, 2012.
And the only way he could do that was to move to Moab. And he was going over to the land of the enemy. Well, I don't think God would ever tell him to go to the land of the enemy. Because God says, trust me, I'm your provider. And he is always our provider. And he wants us to trust him and not to look with natural eyes. And it proved, I mean, we know that verse, don't we? Proverbs 3 and verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Well, this is what Elimelech did. He leaned to his own understanding and it was to his detriment. And within 10 years of moving to Moab, he was dead and his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, were dead. During that time, his sons had married two Moabite women. Mahlon had married Ruth and Chilion had married Orpah. And after the death of her sons, Naomi was feeling very, very bitter. She felt that the Lord had left her, that he had moved out from them and that they were just cursed. She was a totally different woman. She'd gone down and she'd... in fact, a little later on it said when she went back to Bethlehem, the women didn't recognise her. And they said, is this Naomi? Could this be our relative? She must have looked so old and drawn and haggard. The toll of being in the land of the enemy had been hard and it was showing on her body. She made the wise choice, a good choice, to move back to Bethlehem. And so she told Naomi and Orpah what she was going to do. And they immediately said, we'll come with you. And they started on the journey with her. And as we know, Orpah turned back. And Ruth said to, when they were on the way, leaving Moab, Ruth was determined to stay with Naomi. Naomi tried to put them both off. And I'm reading from the message because here puts it very well. Naomi was firm. She said, go back, my dear daughters. Why would you come with me? Do you suppose I still have sons in my womb who can become your future husbands? Go back, dear daughters, on your way, please. I'm too old to get a husband. Why, even if I said there's still hope, and this very night got a man and had sons, can you imagine being satisfied to wait until they were grown? Would you wait that long to get married again? No, dear daughters, you must leave me, you must turn back. She pressurised them not to go with her. And Orpah, she submitted to that pressure. She caved in and she went back to her people, her gods, in search of another life, of a life amongst the Moabites. And she reminds me of the story of the sower and the sower who sowed the seed. And it says, the farmer plants in Mark 4, it says, the farmer plants the word. And some are like the seed that lands in the gravel. When they first hear the word, they respond with great enthusiasm. But there's such shallow soil of character that when the emotions wear off and some difficulty arises, there's nothing to show for it. And it said that it just becomes as nothing. And the seed that had been sown in Orpah, and I'm quite sure she knew about the God of the Israelites, because everyone knew of the God of the Israelites and what a mighty God he was and what he could do for them. But you know, Naomi, she knew that this God had something to offer and she wanted more of what her mother-in-law had told her about. And she had a concern for her mother-in-law and she refused to go back. And the famous words of Ruth, which is absolutely beautiful. But Ruth said, Naomi, don't force me to leave you. And don't make me go home. Because where you go, I go. And where you live, I live. Your people are my people. Your God is my God. Where you die, I will die. And that's where I'll be buried. So help me, God. Not even death itself is going to come between you and between me. I think that is a wonderful covenant relationship. Naomi and Ruth. Ruth was totally dedicated and committed to Naomi, and she would not leave her. And you know, that is a commitment that God wants from all of his children. He wants that dedication one to another, that covenant relationship one to another. I'm committed to you no matter what happens. I'll stay with you. I'll stand by you. I'll give and give and give and give. But as Andrew said today, the world has turned it all around and it's give me, give me, give me. That's not covenant. Covenant says, I'll stand by you. I will be with you all the way. It said when Naomi saw that Ruth had a heart set on going with her, that she gave in, and so they went back to Bethlehem together. And it said, and when they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was soon buzzing. Is this really Naomi? And after all this time? She'd aged beyond recognition in the land of the enemy. There's a lesson here, isn't there? Don't run away from God. Don't get it in your head that you know better and you've got a plan that will work. No, don't turn away from him. Because if you do, you'll regret it. It'll be death to you, not life. The living with God is spiritual life, and that gives life to the body. She said, don't call me Naomi, call me bitter. Because I've just left a full life here and gone back, and the enemy has robbed me. All I've come back with is the clothes on my back. And she said, God certainly doesn't love me anymore. He's ruined me. God hadn't ruined her. She'd ruined herself, or her husband had sought to ruin them all by going off and doing their own thing. She came back to the house of bread. She was spiritually empty. She had no hope. She had no faith. She had no vision. She was totally empty and void of any spiritual life within her. It was interesting that she came home at the beginning of barley harvest. Nothing happens by coincidence with God. Barley harvest is the beginning of April. That's the time of Passover. And it was the time when Jesus was crucified. Passover was the celebration of when the Israelites came out of Egypt. They ate the Passover lamb the night before they came out of the land of the enemy and were on the way to the promised land. And this is a picture of what was happening with Ruth and Naomi. They'd come out of the land of the enemy at Passover and they'd returned to the house of bread, to God's house. And when Jesus was crucified, he had to be crucified at the barley feast, at the Passover, because that was the time when the sacrificial lamb had to be slain. It was all happened in that quarter of the year. And it's just absolutely amazing. God's timing is perfect. And it spoke here of the acceptance of the Gentiles into the new covenant. Ruth the Moabite, came into the covenant blessing at the time of Passover. She was accepted. We read on that Naomi had a relative by marriage, a man who was prominent and rich. He was connected with Elimelech's family, and his name was Boaz. And if you read about Boaz, it's very interesting, because Boaz was the son of Rahab. Wow! Rahab was the prostitute who gave shelter to the spies in Jericho, and she hid them. And because she hid them, they said to her, when we come back to destroy the city, if you put a crimson cord in your window, we will not destroy your house. And she said, he said, you and your household. And here is the fulfillment of that promise. Boaz was of the household of Rahab. He was her son. And he was protected by God when the whole city of Jericho was destroyed because of evil. And I think that's beautiful, because here he brings Ruth, a Moabite foreigner, and he links her with the relative of Rahab the harlot to Boaz. Boaz represents Jesus Christ. He's a forerunner of what Christ is to us, and it's beautiful. She went and she... Here's something that we can admire Ruth for. She came to a foreign land with just her mother-in-law. She had no family. She had no friends. just her mother-in-law. And she decided that she was not going to expect her mother-in-law to keep her and to look after her and to provide for her. She took the initiative and she said to Naomi, "Naomi, I'm going out into those fields and I'm going to glean and I'm going to get food for us." And she was indeed a good woman. To me, she was the woman in Proverbs 31. She was an industrious woman. She was a woman of passion, a woman of commitment, a woman of strength, a woman of power, a woman of love, a woman of with a sense of responsibility. All that God, that Proverbs 31 is a picture of what the bride of Christ should be to Christ. That's what God intends with Proverbs 31. That's what he wants his church to be. That's what he's taking us. That's the goal that we're going for. And this was Ruth, that type of a woman. And it said, she went into the field of Boaz, and at that point Boaz was still in Bethlehem. And when he came to his field, he saw Ruth gleaning. And he said to the foreman, to the young servants who was over the field, "Who's this young woman and where did she come from?" And the foreman said, "Why, it's Ruth, the Moabite girl who came with Naomi from the country of Moab. She asked permission to let her glean in my fields and gather sheaves along with the harvesters. And she's been at it ever since. She started at sunrise without so much as a break." Was she industrious? She was up when the sun rose and she was out in that field and she'd not lifted her head. She'd not even had a drink of water. And she was determined to work that way until the sun set. There were long hours in those fields that they were gleaning. And they weren't allowed to take any of the good barley. They had to take the pickings that were dropped by the other workmen. And so she at that point had been gleaning and picking up what they'd left. But Boaz spoke kindly to Ruth and he said, "Listen, my daughter, from now on, don't go into any other field to glean. Stay right here in this one. And stay close to my young women and watch where they are harvesting and follow them. Don't worry about a thing. I've given orders to my servants not to harass you. And when you get thirsty, feel free to go and drink from the water buckets that the servants have filled." She found in Boaz's field provision and protection. Isn't that lovely? He said to her, he was taking her under his wing and he was protecting her. Because apparently it was a dangerous job to do. In some fields they could be raped. Some of the servants were very unscrupulous. And they would treat them as scum. They would treat them just as nothing. And yet God had provided for her. She'd gone out in faith. She'd gone out to do her duty. And God was there for her. Before she called, he was there with the answer. When Boaz spoke kindly to her, Ruth dropped to her knees and bowed her face to the ground. "How does this happen that you should pick me out and treat me so kindly? Me, a foreigner." You think that with God, don't we? I do. I say, "God, why do you love me? Why did you choose me? Why did you pick me out?" And he picked you out before he made the earth, before he made the world. He knew you and he said, "Mark's mine. Julio's mine. John's mine. They're mine. And I'm going to call them and I'm going to protect them and I'm going to provide for them." Boaz answered her and he said, "I've heard all about you. I've heard about the way you treated your mother-in-law after the death of her husband and how you left your father and your mother and the land of your birth and have come to live amongst a bunch of total strangers. God reward you well for what you've done, Ruth, and with a generous bonus besides, to whom you've come seeking protection under the wings of your God." She said, "Oh, sir, such grace, such kindness. I don't deserve it. You've touched my heart. You've treated me like one of your own, and I don't even belong here." That was the reward of her faithfulness. She was faithful to Naomi, and so God was faithful to her. He gave her great favour with Boaz, and he actually gave her, he said to his servants, Don't leave her to glean the stuff of what's left. Pick her full barley sheaves and give them to her. Give her the share that you would have. It's actually what he was saying to them. And he was very generous to her. And he provided for her as he would have done for any of his own men. When she got home, Naomi said, "Where did you glean today? In whose field?" Because she came home with a full sack of gleanings of barley. And Ruth told her mother-in-law, she said, "The man with whom I work today is Boaz." Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "Why, God bless that man. God hasn't walked out on us after all, has he? He still loves us in the bad times as well as in the good times." And I think that's lovely. That proved to Naomi that God had not deserted her. He hadn't left her. He was always there. She couldn't see him. You know, the sun's always shining, but sometimes the clouds get in the way and we think that the sun's not there. But as sure as the sun is always shining, God's love is always towards us, and he's always looking for us. His eye is always on us, and he will always bring us through in victory. Don't care what situation you're in. Don't look to the natural. Don't try and work it out. Don't take natural actions and make natural choices. Trust God with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. He has a plan. He will rescue you. His time, his way. Hang in there, even if, as Lynn says, sometimes it's by your fingernails. But hang in there. God will always make a way. He will come through for you because he's in covenant with you. Naomi went on, "That man Boaz, Ruth, is one of our circle of covenant redeemers. He's a close relative of ours." Ruth the Moabitess said, "Well, listen to this. He told me, stick with my workers until my harvesting is finished." And Naomi said to Ruth, "That's wonderful, dear daughter. Do that. You'll be safe in the company of his young women. No danger now of being raped in some stranger's field." Don't wander from God's field. Don't wander from the house of God. You'll get raped out there. It's evil out there. God says, stay within the bounds of his field and be secure in him. Stay under the shelter of his wings and he'll provide for you. You don't need to go outside and look beyond where God is. One day, Naomi said to Ruth, "It's about time I arranged a good home for you so you can have a happy life. And isn't Boaz our close relative, the one with whose young women you've been working? Maybe it's time to make our move. Tonight is the night of Boaz's barley harvest at the threshing floor. Take a bath, Ruth. Put on some perfume. Get all dressed up and go to the threshing floor. But don't let him know you're there until the party is well underway and he's had plenty of food and drink. And when you see him slipping off to sleep, watch where he lies down and then go there and lie at his feet. And let him know that you are available to him for marriage. Then wait and see what he does. He'll tell you what to do." Ruth said, "If you say so, I'll do it, just as you've told me." So she went down to the threshing floor and put her mother-in-law's plan into action. Boaz had a good time eating and drinking his fill, and he felt great. And then he went off to get some sleep, lying down at the end of the stack of the barley. Ruth quietly followed. She laid down to signal her availability for marriage. You know, God loves to party. They were celebrating the harvest. And I always remember when we went to GC's once, a girl who was very good at writing songs, and she was like the psalmist David, and these songs just oozed from her, and she wrote them down and she would sing them. And she was at one of the conferences we went to, and she wrote one about, "It's time to come to the party." And I always remember GC getting up, and they were jigging and dancing and whooping and shouting and saying, "You know, God wants us to party." And he really does want us to party, not the way the world parties, not with their mentality. But God has a whole atmosphere that's charged with joy And he wants his people to rejoice and be happy and to party with him and to share in what he's got. Ruth, by laying down, she was saying to Boaz, it was symbolic of her acceptance that she was available for marriage. Nothing immoral went off. He treated Ruth as a lady of honour. But it was custom in those days to lay at the feet of the one who she was accepting in marriage, and he would lay his garment over her as a protection, a symbol of his protection for her. And it said that Boaz awoke in the night and he found Ruth asleep at his feet, and he said to her, "Who are you?" And it was obviously dark, and she said, "I'm Ruth, your maiden." And she said, "Take me under your protecting wing." I think that's beautiful. "Cover me with your garment. You're my close relative, and you're my covenant redeemer, and you have the right to marry me," she was saying to him. And he said, "God bless you, my dear daughter. What a splendid expression of love. And when you've had your pick, you could have had your pick of any of the young men. And now, my dear daughter, don't worry about a thing. I'll do all you could want or ask." Isn't that God for us? He said, "Ask anything in my name and I'll do it. I'll look after you. I'll provide for you. I'll take you from the gutter and I'll put you on my throne with me. You'll rule and you'll reign with me." You know, he did amazingly with Boaz. And it doesn't matter what your history is. It doesn't matter if you had a bad start, if you had a bad family line. Both Boaz and Ruth did. But God made them into new creations. He made them into new creatures because of his love. He transformed them into his image and made them what he had chosen them before the foundation of the world to be. You know, Ruth didn't follow the crowd. She didn't say, "Oh, I can't marry Boaz. He's an old man. I don't know how old he was. I can't find out." But he was certainly not one of the young men. He wasn't one of the trendy ones. But he was a man of character, of strength, and a man of honour. And she too was that type of person. So she was drawn by the strength of Boaz to him. She didn't care what the men said about the gossip. She didn't care what they were saying about her. She knew who she wanted, and she knew whom she loved, and she knew who would protect her, and she was determined to stay under the shelter of his covenant. Praise God. He said to Ruth, he said, "You're right, I am a close relative to you, but there's one who's even closer than I am. So stay the rest of the night, and in the morning, if the one that's closer to you than I am exercises his customary rights, and he is your closest redeemer, he can have his chance to take you. But if he isn't interested, as God lives, I'll do it. And now, Ruth, go back to sleep until the morning." Early morning, Ruth rose up and went back to Naomi. Naomi said to her, "How did it turn out, Ruth? How did it turn out?" And she told Naomi exactly what had happened. And Naomi said, "Sit back and relax until we find out how things turn out. That man isn't going to fool around. Mark my words, he's going to get everything wrapped up today." He wasn't messing about. He said to Ruth, she was a prize. He said of her, he said, "You're a courageous woman, Ruth. You are a real prize." You know, God thinks that about us. We're his prized possession. We're the apple of his eye. He gave Jesus for us, the ultimate sacrifice. He thinks that we're absolutely worth dying for. Boaz went straight to the public square and took his place. Before long, the close relative came and strolled by Boaz. Boaz said, "Step aside, old friend, and take a seat." The man sat down. Boaz then gathered the elders of the town together and he said, "Sit down here with us. We've got some business to take care of." And so they sat down. Boaz said to his relative, The piece of property that belonged to our relative Elimelech is being sold by his widow, Naomi, who has just returned from the country of Moab. I thought you ought to know about it. Buy it back if you want. You can make it official in the presence of those sitting here and before the town elders. You have first redeemer rights. If you don't want it, tell me so, and I'll know where I stand. But you're first in line to do this, and I'm next after you. The first in line said, I'll buy it. Then Boaz said to him, but you also realise, don't you, that when you buy the field from Naomi, you also get Ruth, the Moabitess, the widow of our dead relative, along with the redeemer responsibility to have children with her and to carry on the family inheritance. So he said to the one who was first in line, you must also marry Ruth. Now, the first in line was a Jew. And he said, his answer was, I can't do that. I'd jeopardise my own family's inheritance. He said, you go ahead and buy it. You can have the rights, I can't do it. He wasn't prepared to give up his rights as a Jew, because if he married Ruth, then he would be ostracised by his family. He would have no rights, he would be put out, and he would lose everything, he would lose his inheritance. And so he said he was not prepared to do that. And this is a picture of the law. You know, when we're under law, it can't save us. It can't redeem us. The law cannot redeem you back to God, because you can't live by a works programme. There's not enough goodness in us to live by the law. We cannot be accepted to God by the law. We have to come by grace. And that's what Boaz was showing to Ruth. Just absolute love and grace. A picture of Christ. You're not worthy. You can't do it. But I'll do it for you. I'll provide for you. I'll protect you. I'll keep you safe. And I'll give you eternal life. And that's what happened. And so they witnessed it. The first in line gave Boaz his sandal, and that was the sign of the seal of the covenant. And he said to him, this now is legally your property. You can take it, you can redeem from Naomi the property, and you're free to marry Ruth, the Moabitess. And so that's exactly what Boaz did. He married Ruth, and God gave them a son, and they called him Obed. And Obed was the father of Jesse, and Jesse was the father of David. And so the line goes down, and that is the royal line. It takes us down to Jesus Christ. And so in his royal line, his family, there was Boaz, there was Rahab, the prostitute, and there was Ruth, the Moabitess. And, you know, I thank God we're all welcome in God's family. None of us, even if we've had a bad start, that's no reason to not come to Jesus. That's all the more reason to come to Jesus. Because Tracy was sharing with me before when we were in the prayer room, she was saying, it's amazing, isn't it? She said, how she didn't have a good start. And yet, look where God's brought her to now. There's only God can do that in our lives, isn't there? He can take us out of nothing and give us everything. And this is what the story of Ruth is all about. And it said that Naomi's youth was renewed. She looked after that child. And in one of the translations, it actually says that she nurtured the child. She breastfed the child. Grandma was so renewed in her youth that she went back to her early years, and she was able to even suckle the child. And it said the neighbourhood women started calling him Naomi's baby boy. She took him to her heart, and he was the son that she had lost. He was her hope. God had given her a hope. He'd given her a future. When it all looked so bleak, when it looked like nothing could happen, she hung on and she stuck in there and she said, God, I will not go. I will not leave your house. And God blessed her, and he blessed her abundantly. And I thank God for that, because I want to encourage any of you today here, if you think that your situation is impossible, be encouraged this afternoon by what happened to Ruth and Naomi and God's faithfulness to them. You're in a process and the time is not right, but when the time is right, the promise will be fulfilled. God is at work, not just, it was as Christine said, it's not all about the physical, it's about the emotional, it's about the spiritual as well as the physical. And God is doing a complete work, but he will fulfill his promise. He will do what he's promised you, because God is, our God is a God of covenant and a God of his word. And it said in the message at the end of this chapter, the lesson to learn from this is, however ordinary we see ourselves, we are irreplaceable in God's plan. We count every last one of us, and what we do counts. So go with God. Stay with God. Don't abandon your hope. Don't do what Elimelech did and run off and abandon everything. Stay with the program. Stay with the promise. Keep filling yourself spiritually, and God will come through with you when he's done the work that he promised to do. Amen.